Yeah, everybody. Okay. So, Shavua Tov, Agudvach. Before we start, I just want to, as we often do, first of all, everyone should mute themselves now. I just want to, bring another source to back up a statement that we saw last week from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Charlap. Was he said that, it's just a point. He said that if your biggest way of understanding your biggest measure of love is one that's based on your physical tendencies and physical leanings, so it's going to be very limited. Right? And of course, the Avas Hashem, the love of Hashem, is something which is supposed to be way out of any limitation, and therefore we can't let it be bound by the physical lusts of the body, let's say, and the physical loves, kiveyochel, right? That would extremely limit the love, the Avas Hashem, that is possible and that's really desired from us. And therefore, that was what he said, that Yiras Hashem is what keeps the body in check, that it shouldn't get in the way, right? And that it should let our neshama do the connecting and do the work it's got to do. So I just wanted to point to the Netziv in his Hakdama to Sheiltas, Rav Achai Goin. He has a very, very fascinating Hakdama, a very long Hakdama. It's called Kidmas HaEmek. And on page 26 over there, he quotes a brisa from the Avos Rav Nosson. And the Avos Rav Nosson is in Perek Chaf Ches, according to the address that he writes. And it says, Rav Nosson Oimer, Rav Nosson says, Ein ahava ke ahava shel Torah. There's no love like the love of Torah. There's no love that's comparable to the love of Torah. Ve ein chachma ke chachma shel Eretz Yisrael, and there's no wisdom like the wisdom of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's... So the Netziv says, Labmadno, we learn from here. Or Limdeno, I should say. Limdeno Reb Nosson. Reb Nosson taught us, Da'ava ruchnis gedoyle v'chazaka me'erich ava haba mi'ana gashmis sheyesh l'gvul. Reb Nosson was teaching us here that the love, the spiritual love, is greater and stronger than any kind of love that can come from a physical pleasure, which has limitation. And Netziv points out, right, no matter what, if you have something that you love dearly, okay, a physical love, okay, no matter how much you love that thing, it's you'll be more than willing to give it up in order to save your life. Right? Your love for your soul, for your life, is going to, obviously overpower that physical love. But Mashenkin Ava Shal Torah, he Azik Hamavis. Suppose the love of Torah is so strong, right? It's strong like death. There's an expression like that, Azik Hamavis, strong like death. Hainu Sheyitin Gam Nafsho Bishvila, meaning that a person who loves Torah will be willing to give his life for Torah. Lemi, he adds, Lemi Shetoama, to someone who tasted it. The Hirgil Atzmai Ba, and got himself used to learning Torah. So, and then the Netziv goes on to explain that somebody who did not taste the beauty of Torah is not going to know what we're talking about, because he's not going to have the capability to understand such a thing. And the Netziv goes on a little bit at the length about that. But somebody who does know what Torah is about, who has tasted Torah, he will be more than willing to give up his life on behalf of the Torah, as has obviously been done over the course of generations at different times. So anyway, but the same Yisod, I just was pointing out, he's really kind of giving the Yisod that we saw Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, he's now given us an address for it in Chazal, in Reb Nosson's words, that ein ava ka'ava shel Torah, that there's no love like the love of Torah. I will add to that, that the Netziv later on in this piece, this piece appears in Ois Hey. Okay, we said on page 26, you'll see it, but on page 27, he asks, why did Reb Nosson say, Ein Ava Ka'ava Shel Torah? Why doesn't he say, Ein Ava Ka'ava Shem? Why does he go to the love of Torah? Doesn't go to the love of Hashem? It's a very good question. So the Netziv says a very fascinating thing, which he develops a little bit, and he says that the completion of love comes through when it comes in such a way, right? In other words, the perfection, the completion, the wholesomeness of a love is going to be when the one that you love is also presenting yourself and is presenting itself or herself or whatever it is, right? And looking for your love and wanting to give love back to you. But if the one that you love is moving away from you and is not interested in you, at some point your love is also going to become lessened and you're going to lose interest as well. It's a two-way dynamic. Love is a two-way dynamic. So he says that when it comes to Avas Hashem, unfortunately, after the Churban, Hashem moved away from us. And Kiveyachol, he's not interested in our love. Kiveyachol, right? He turned, there's a Hester upon him. There's a concealment of his face where he doesn't present himself to us. He makes it look as if he's just not interested. And especially in Chutz Arts, he says, not in Eretz Yisrael, he brings Chazal that Roy Hoya Shetishrol of Shechina, it's talking over there about Hillel, I think, Ela She'ena Dor Zakai, right? The Chazal tell us that really he was Roy, that the Shechina should be Sheira on him. I think it was talking about Hillel over there, that he would have been, you know, a prophet. But the generation is not worthy of it. Meaning Hashem's not willing. He's not looking for that connection, Kibiyachal. He's not coming forward in that same way. So therefore he says that's true about Avas Hashem. You want to love Hashem, and you have to. We want to show our love to Hashem. But he's not showing it back to us in that full way. Obviously he loves us. Obviously he loves us in a fuller way than we love, but he's not showing it. And therefore it makes it very difficult for us to reach a Shleimus in Avas Hashem. Masha'ein Kain, says the Netziv, Avas HaTorah, he mishtalemes b'chol makim v'chol zman. Avas HaTorah, the love of the Torah, that becomes perfected and sholem in every place and every time. And he brings Chazal for this. He brings a pasuk from Shlomo Melech, and that the Torah is there to be gotten in b'shleimus at all times, in all places. Doesn't matter where you are, and therefore, by loving the Torah, you are going to, through the Avas HaTorah, that's the way you'll be able to get to the Avas Hashem. Because the Torah, you'll chase after the Torah will present itself to you. Like the Chazal, he brings, right, I think he brings it, right, where the Gemara says that if you toil over the Torah is going to toil over you, you know, on your behalf in another place. Nefesh Amma Amalai. So the Gemara Sanhedrin says, right, you'll toil in Torah in one place, and the Torah is going to be seeking out from Hashem to, you know, give you more Torah, even where you're not learning or in places where you're not being Isaac on. So you see that there's a real connection with the Torah, that you give the Torah and the Torah gives back to you. So therefore you could reach a Shleimus in Avas HaTorah, but in Avas Hashem today, it's virtually impossible. Unless you're coming through the Avas HaTorah, that's what... So he says, so David, so he asks a question. I'm just like, it's fascinating. He says, you know, he brings out in the Chazal that David HaMelech asked Hashem, you know, could you make it that somebody who says Tehillim is going to be considered like somebody who's learning Negaim and Olay? So you see that learning Negaim v'Olay is be'iyun is a higher madrega be'etzem. Just David HaMelech was requesting, can you make it that somebody who says Tehillim is also going to be on that, is also going to be like that? You know, get that level is going to be. So he says, I understand. So why was David saying these shiras v'shishbachas? Why was he being Isaac and Taylor? Why wasn't he learning Negaim and Olos? And then he comes to Hashem. Could you make it that, you know, it's like, it's equal? Why didn't he just learn Negaim and Olos? So he says, this is a very interesting point. He says, Vadai, David HaMelech ba'atzmai shehisig Ruach HaKodesh b'shas Amiras HaMizbar. For sure, David HaMelech who read Ruach HaKodesh while he was saying the Mizmar of Tehillim that he was saying, he for sure reached Ruach HaKodesh during that time. V'hisig Avos Hashem b'shleimus. So he attained, he got Avos Hashem in the full way. So vada yekara ugvayahi me'avos haTorah. So for sure that's greater and more precious than and higher than Avos haTorah. But over the generations afterwards, that most people, you know, a person is not being masik Ruach HaKodesh while he's saying Tehillim, even though he does get excited and he reaches some level of Ava Tashem, Mikol Malkamena Bishlamus. Nevertheless, it's not Bishlamus. But that's not the way it is when it comes to Avos HaTorah. Shemasik b'shleimus yikara ugdoy l'mikoyl. Because it will be masik the shleimus in the fullest, most precious way, now through the Avos HaTorah, that he'll be able to get. So therefore, to learn Negoim v'oilos would be more appropriate for most of us. David HaMelech is coming and asking, can you make that Tehillim is also? And that's, you know, we know the Nefesh HaChaim held that he was not granted the request. There are other Sfarim, old Sfarim as well, that say Mefurish that he was granted the request. So that would be there's an interesting machlokes about that, which would tap into Chassidus and whatever, that whole discussion that the Nefesh HaChaim makes about saying Tehillim with excitement. But what I wanted to point out over here, an additional point besides the source for Yaakov Moshe, what he says over here with David HaMelech, that's a very important statement, because when it comes to the whole question of Avos HaTorah and Avos Hashem and the whole Chassidus, the Snagdus business, right? So it seems to come out, right? You a person can understand that. Yeah, Avos HaTorah is more important than Avos Hashem, like on the Litvisha side, you know, like, yeah, Avos Hashem I just had to check my phone, I wanted to make sure everybody's really hearing me. So the Avos Hashem and Avos HaTorah maybe are on equal footing, or maybe they're, but you see the Netziv says, no, for sure, if you could get a Shleimus in Avos Hashem, that's for sure more important than the Shleimus in Avos HaTorah. As much as Avos HaTorah taps you into the Hashem, right, to that Kesher with Hashem, but if you get a level of Ruach HaKodesh, you're on that level, for sure that would take precedence. And that's why David HaMelech put his Koiches into Tehillim as opposed to Negoim V'Olos. That's a very big statement, I think, of the Netziv, who's, you know, was the last Rosh Yeshiva of Elazhin and the grand, you know, from the lineage of Reb Chaim, so that's a chashuv idea to know. All right, let's move weiter in.
Question. Is he saying that the Avos HaTorah is just a hechatimtza for the Avos Hashem, or it's own ahava that has its own chashivas?
That's a good question, but the truth of the matter is it's not clear enough as at least. You know, maybe if I would learn the whole piece more be'in, maybe it would come out. But I don't know. It's not clear from him. It's certainly a discussion. You know, it's certainly its own thing. But the way he describes the Nefesh HaChaim is that the Torah is mishtalshel into our world. Or Ein Sof Hashem is mishtalshel. It comes down into our world through the Torah. In a way that's unconstricted, which is the special koyach of Torah. So even the way the Nefesh HaChaim is describing it, it's really a way of Hashem being mesgala to us. He's mesgala through the Torah. So the answer is that on the one hand, it's its own thing. Avos HaTorah is its own thing. If it was exactly the same, so why would David HaMelech put koyach in? You know, that's the question of the Netziv. Why would he put koyach into it? And the Netziv's Lashon is clearly that, yeah, if you get Ruach HaKodesh, you get a Shleimus of Avos Hashem, for sure that's higher than Avos HaTorah. That's his Lashon. So he's for sure putting it on top and saying that there is some kind of a pyramid when it comes to these two things put up against each other. Okay, but it's, there is what to discuss more, but it's not for now. Okay. All right. Let's now, talking about love, we'll get to the next piece in Tefillin. Ve'rastechli la'olam. I will, what's the English, betroth you? Is that the right word, right? Forever. So, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe brings what's a Rashi in Chumash. So we'll learn the Rashi together. It's based on a Medrash, Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Kisisa. Psolach hashnei luchay tavonim. Carve out for you two tablets of stone. Atashivarti rishenis. You broke the first ones, right? You, Moshe Rabbeinu, broke the first luchays. Atop psolach acheres. So you carve out for yourself other ones. Mashal amelech. It's a mashal to the king. Shaholach lemedina sayam, who went overseas, ve'niach arusasa imashvachis, and he left his engaged, right, his kala, right, he left his kala with the maid servants. Mitoch kilkul ashvachis yotzele Hashem ra, her shvachis, right, the maid servants were not such great character, so a bad name went out about the arusa, about the kala, because she was together with the shvachai. So, you know, you're hanging in the wrong group. So a bad name went out for her that she was also perhaps not behaving properly. Amad shushbina, so her shushbin, right, which is like the one that kind of, I guess, facilitates the chasana, right? So he went and karak subasa. He tore her ksuba. He ripped it up. Amar, he said, Im yarem ha-melech l'harga. He was really trying to save her, right? If the king is going to say to kill her, right? Because look what she's done, you know, she has. So, Omer lo, I'll tell him, Adayin eina ishtecha. She's still not your wife. Like, there was no treacherous kind of activity here because she wasn't your wife yet. Okay, she was betrothed, but she still wasn't your wife yet. So he'll save her life that way. Badak HaMelech, the king checks out the story. Umatza, and he found Shalohaya Kilkel Elam in the Shvachis. Then no, the Kilkel was only because of the Shvachis. It wasn't anything that she did. She was 100% okay. She didn't do anything wrong. So Nisratzala, he becomes appeased once again to take her back. Amar Lo Shushbina. So her shushbin says to him, "K'sev l'ksub acheres shenikra rishena." The shushbin says to the king, "Listen, you got to write her a new ksuba because the first one was ripped up." Amalei Amelech. So the king said back to him, "Ata karato ota. You're the one that ripped it up. Ata kne l'chaniya acher. Go ahead, you buy different paper to write a nuksuban. I don't want to supply the paper. You ripped it. Go bring me paper.
Figure it out.
Yeah. And I'll write it with my handwriting, but you bring me the paper." Kach hamelech, so to the melech over here, ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashvachais elu Erev Rav. Right? The shvachais were the Erev Rav. Vashushbin ze Moshe. And the shushbin is Moshe, arusasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu elu Yisrael, and the betrothed one, the one that's betrothed to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is klal Yisrael. That's what this mashal is about. The king is the melech, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael is the arusa, and Moshe is the shushbin who facilitates that kesher between the two. And the shvachis are the Erev Rav, who Klal Yisrael was put to hang out with, and because the Erev Rav was problematic in their behavior, so a bad name went out for Klal Yisrael, made Klal Yisrael look bad, but really we know it was the Erev Rav. A Gershbach who checked it out and said that, yeah, it was really the Erev Rav that messed up. By the Eagle, yeah. Well, yeah.
The Luchas was the Ksuba, yes.
And the Luchas was the Ksuba, right. So he says, "Adayna dover tzarch be." That's the lashon of Rashi. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, "Adayna dover tzarch bira mokita." We still left this. We still need to understand. There needs some kind of deeper explanation here. Madua tzarch hashushbin liknois esyar. Why does the shushbin have to buy the paper? Like, what, the melech can't afford the paper? Like, what's the big deal? What is this whole thing? What does it mean? You buy the paper. Omnam toichen advarim hu. The issue is like this. Shamelech atzmo beglal chavivusoy la'arusosoy. Because of his love, his endearment to his arusa, to his kala, me'olam lahemin l'shem hara sheyotza al arusosoy. He never bought the story. He never believed that any evil or bad was done by his arusa. He didn't buy into the shem hara. He didn't buy into that false reputation. He suspected that there's something doesn't add up. I don't buy it. Mitzido adayin aksuba hakodemet kayemet. As far as the melech was concerned, as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned, right? The ksuba was still holding. He still trusted her. L'chein enenu rotz liknos niyar chadash. Therefore, he doesn't want to buy new paper. Kedei laharot. It was a way of showing. Shemitzido me'olam lo nitbatlu erusin. It was a way of showing, as far as I'm concerned, I supplied the paper. The paper is there. You're telling me the paper is there, but that, it's your problem. I don't know what you're talking about. It was his way of saying that I never doubted the honesty, yeah, and the loyalty of my arusa. Right? Mitzido me'olam lo nisbatlu ha'erusin. As far as the king's concerned, the erison was never in his battle. There was never a cancellation of this erison. V'kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzido, so to Kadosh Baruch Hu from his side of things, adayin aluchas arishenis kayamais v'loy nishbru. The luchas arishenis are still there. Ele mitzido shel Moshe bilvad. Now this, by the way, is interesting because it gives a little bit of an added understanding, right? It's brought down that the luchas Hashvuras, right? They put them into the Oil Mayad also they put them over there in the Kodesh Kodashim also together with the question is exactly where they put them, but it's like because this is it's still there as far as Kodesh Baruch Hu is concerned. Elamitzid Shel Moshe Blavad. Yeah, the problem is just from Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the Shushpin. It was from his side of things. Lachein Amalel Moshe. Therefore, he said to Moshe, Psalecha. Carve out for yourself new stones, new tablets. Kirak mitzid chashvurim heim, because it's only from your angle that they were broken. Ava mitzidi lo isa shvira. As far as I was concerned, there never was a break. Ome oylem lo izoza ahavosim Yisrael, and my love never moved from Yisrael. There's a little bit of a question.
Did I say that was good that you did? The Kosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Ben that was...
Yasha koichecha. Yeah, okay. Let's say v'im. There's a question. V'im ki yachachticha b'shevet pi v'amarti lecha kishiches amcha. I rebuked you with the rod of my mouth, right? Saying, and I said to you that your nation corrupted shiches amcha. So it looks like Kadosh Baruch Hu really did hold them, right? Who's his nation? Who's Moshe's nation? Look, Kal Yisrael was corrupted. Lo al ami Yisrael amarti. I didn't say that about the Jewish people. Ela al ha'erev rav, al ha'shvaches. I only was referring to the erev rav. I was referring to the shvaches, the maidservants. Now, before we continue the last line, I'll just add to this that there's a lot of Torah in the Arizal and in the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Sforim HaKadoshim, as they say, that this pasuk really, it's not just Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's chiddush. Shiches amcha was you, Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was megayer giyurim. It was something which he did on his own, and therefore considered the nation, the people of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were his responsibility. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Shiches Amcha, Hitaka was referring to not Shiches Ami, you know, or not my people. My people is Klal Yisrael. Your people, the Erev Rav. So it's not a Chiddush of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe in that sense. I'm just pointing out there's a clear makar for this in the Sifrei Kabbalah, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. They're the ones that corrupted. Mitzidcha haluchas shvurim. So the luchas are broken from your side. Avo mitzidi. From my perspective, adayin haluchas rishenis kayamim im kol hasgula shebem li Yisrael am kedoshi. As far as I'm concerned, the first luchas are still in existence, with all the segula that they have for the Jewish people, I'm kedoshi. So somebody asked over here. I don't know if the Zoomers heard the question, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu Yasha Koichecha on breaking the Luchais. Right? He told him Yasha Koichecha. So it's a good question. I don't know. I would love to ask the question to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. But perhaps the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising him, because at the end of the day, in the fuller picture, Moshe Rabbeinu was right. In other words, he was acting Mitzido, in the position of Shushbin, he did the right thing. And what was he doing? He was trying to save Klal Yisrael, right? That's the mashal over here. This Shushbin is trying to save the Kala. So it's similar to when Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, erase me from your Sefer. If you're going to destroy them, we find Moshe Rabbeinu continuously is Meiser Nefesh on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So it could be the Yasher Koichecha that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives to him is, you know, it makes me happy when I see you, you know, taking it into your hands to save my people. I mean, that's after all what HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Moshe Rabbeinu for. Right? He saw the way he helped the sheep, and he saw the way he, you know, and Moshe Rabbeinu was so moved and so such a bal rachamim, and just wanted to help his people so much. So yeah, that's a good reason to say Yasher Koyach, even if Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he never thought that there was a problem by the Jewish people. Okay, that had to be in his bar afterwards. But Moshe Rabbeinu, as far as he's concerned, he did the right thing. So that might be an answer. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week we'll see a nice chiddush. I thought we'd get it to it today, but we had some delay over here because of the whole Zoom issue. But any questions before we...
Is he learning that Am Yisrael, besides for the Erev Rav, did not participate in the Chetah Egel?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think he's necessarily taking a position on that. It is somewhat mashma that. I don't think that would work though, because the Gemara says, right, and that the Levim were the only ones that were willing to kill their own relatives and their brothers, and you know, it's mashma there that there were Jewish people that fell also, but not just Erev Rav, but because it was all done based on it was coming from the Erev Rav, and the Jewish people as a whole were not involved in it. It was just, you know, individuals. So it doesn't, those individuals don't represent Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe has another piece on this, the first piece in Chelek Vav, and it appears also actually in this Sefer, if I remember correctly, Chelek Yud Gimel. He relates to this issue, and he says this very fact that Klal Yisrael never ever sinned, because even what they did by the Egel was only individuals that kind of broke off. In other words, they lost their connection with their nation. It came from them as individuals, not stemming from the Jewish people at all. So he actually relates this as a whole piece. I'm just saying it very b'kitzur nimrutz. It's really based on a Zohar, which I think we've said in the past, that the pasuk says Gemalasu toiv eloira kol yemei chaya, that's a reference to Klal Yisrael. They've only done toiv, good, their whole, all the days of their life, never ever doing bad. What do you mean they never did bad? No, Klal Yisrael never did bad. Knesset Yisrael never did bad.
And that's his emphasis. The title of this piece was Ve'erastit
V'Lo'ilam. Exactly. Our erasin, our connection with Hashem is forever.
Okay. Is it a time on Moshe Rabbeinu that he brought in the Erev Rav?
There's speak about it in this forum. It's a big issue. It's a big sugya.
And they're not called Klal Yisrael. It's to say that Klal Yisrael didn't live there. You could say they're not written in the sky, or why are they not Klal Yisrael?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's for a different time. We can't get into that. It's too long to get into that. It's a complicated sugya. So, yeah. You were gonna.
Thank you.
Okay.
Shavua Tov. Yeah. Good afternoon. Terribly willing to give up their life for others, so understand the things they're not going to. But you see, people have routinely given up their lives for different things. You know, not just for like not other religions. You know, more than happy to be massacred. You know, for their cause.
Yeah. And Echanami, generally speaking, even the other things that people are are giving up for, you know, their lives for, are usually, it's been spiritual issues. It's usually been around religion.
It means something that's from a higher cause.
Yeah. Now, there may be, some people might give up life for their car, right? Yeah, but yeah, those things would be spiritual. You know, obviously, many people, even family would be the same thing, I think. Yeah, family connections, even by Goyim, is a spiritual type of connection. It's a spiritual connection. If it's just a physical connection, they're not going to be giving up their life for it. It's the true love, which is beyond the physical, you know, that causes the a person, even a Goy, to give up one's life for their family. Yeah. All this is with the exception of people that are brainwashed, you know. No, I'm serious. Somebody that's really fully brainwashed, they may give themselves up for utter nonsense or something. You know, I don't know. I mean, I can hear that because they're not coming from any kind of das whatsoever. There's no decision there. They're programmed, you know. But I don't know. Sorry, Chiyin on that, but I think that might be true. Right. All right, go ahead. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.